We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Mishnah Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We are in Bechoris Perek Dalad Mishnah Dalad. We spoke in the previous Mishnah about someone who is a mumche, person who has the level of ordination of smicha known as Yatir Bechoros, the level of Yore, person who knows Isser Veheter, Yadin, a person who knows the laws of money matters and has or smicha in that regard. And then there's Yatir Bechoros, a person who studies with a shepherd and knows the difference between a mum kavua, where you're able to shecht it can't be brought as a carbon, you're able to shecht it and eat it, versus a mum over, where it's going to heal, and therefore, since we can't bring a carbon today, you cannot shecht it and eat it, you have to wait, you have to let it graze until it gets a mum. So that's another level of smicha, but it's not sufficient just to be a mumche. You need permission, rishus, from the nasi in Eretz Yisrael, or based in an Eretz of the people who smicha in Eretz Yisrael, in order to make that ruling. The smicha is an unbroken chain for Moshe Rabbeinu, which ended at some point, then tried to be reinstated in the 16th century. But nonetheless, the smicha we have today, person can be an expert, but not a mumche to the extent that they have rishus to make certain rulings. And therefore, because we don't have that level of smicha, there's certain halachos, there are areas of halacha where we cannot give halachic rulings. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is going to speak about someone who gives a ruling and is not a mumche, and what the halacha is in such a case. Misha ain't a mumche. This is someone who may not be an expert, or maybe he's an expert in the areas of matir b'choros, of permitting b'choros. He knows the difference between a mum over and a mum kavu. He knows the animals very well, but he doesn't have permission from the nasi in Eretz Yisrael or for a beis din of smuchim in Eretz Yisrael to give a halachic ruling. V'ra'as ha'b'chor, and he saw a b'chor, v'nishchar al piv, and he said, oh, it's a mum kavua. It's a permanent blemish, therefore it's a real mum. You can shecht it, the Kohen can shecht it and eat it. And then the animal was shechted based on his ruling. Hareze yikaver, the halacha is that animal, that bechor, has to be buried, like a bechor that just died. Same thing here. Vishali mi beso, and this non-mumche, who made this halachic ruling, he should not have, he has to pay out of pocket, because this is an animal that potentially could have been eaten by, had it been a balmum, it could have been eaten by this person, by this Kohen, and because now we're saying it has to be buried, so he loses out, so he has to pay out of his pocket. How much he has to pay? So the Gemara says that he's not going to pay the full amount. We'll get to that in a moment, but before we get there, we have to speak about what type of mum we're talking about, because if you remember, we according to Rabbi Yehuda, after you shecht an animal, in most cases, if it's a mum shebeguf, it's not the cataract, it's not in the eye, so that can be checked, can be inspected even after the fact. So here you have someone who gave a ruling, they shechted the bechor based on him, he's not a mumche, okay, so bring over a mumche now, and check the animal, if indeed it has a mum kavua, so then he's allowed to eat it, we shechted properly, let the Kohen eat it, and no money is lost out at all, that doesn't have to be buried. And therefore the Gemara explains that we must be speaking about the cataracts, the Dokin Sheba'ayin. And that's something which we said, based on the pain of the animal that it endures during the Shechita, and therefore, if it does, maybe it changed. So you don't know, you can't render a halachic ruling on the status of that mum after the fact. So that's what we're speaking about over here. So here, you have to bury it. Non-mumche gave a ruling, and now you shechted it. You can't now bring in a mumche to check the eye to render a ruling on it at this point. And therefore, he, the non-mumche, has to pay out of pocket for the fact that the animal has to be buried. Now, how much is he paying? So here the Gemara brings a brice and says like this, Kshu mishalem, mishalem revia ladaka. If it's a behema daka, a sheep or a goat, you pay a quarter of the value of the bechor. We'll have to see why. Umechta lagasa, and half of the value if it's a large animal like a cow. So let's actually begin with the second one. Why are you paying a half? So you're never paying the full amount. The reason you're not paying the full amount is because it's quite possible that this animal may just die by itself. If it dies by itself, the Kohen will never be able to eat the bechor anyway. Or let's say he was brought to a real mumche, and a mumche says, you know, this is a mum over. This is, it's going to heal. It's not a real mum. You can't shecht it. So it's going to, you have to wait till it develops a mum. And it may never develop a mum. Maybe it'll die at that point. So there's no guarantee that the animal is going to be eaten by the Kohen. And the non-mumche who said, this can be shechted, and now the animal is going to be buried, it's not like the Kohen lost out on on this Bechor necessarily. It's really a Suffolk. And since it's a Suffolk, so therefore we assume there's a chance that in fact the non-mumche caused this damage, this financial loss, and he would have to pay. There's a chance that he didn't really cause a financial loss. This never would have come into the hands of the Kohen to be able to eat it. And therefore, when it comes to a Behem Agasa, we say that we're going to, you have to pay half, and that's all you have to pay. Why Behem Adaka, you're paying a quarter? So the Gemara says, Mishum Gezeras Megadle Behem Adaka Noguba. It has something to do with raising goats and sheep, and that's the problem. So that's why you get to pay a quarter. So the Rambam understands that based on a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, where it says that you're not allowed to raise a Behemah Daka in Eretz Yisrael, certainly in the areas where there's grass, out in the desert maybe. But in Eretz Yisrael, we don't raise a Behemah Daka in areas where we have civilization. And the reason for that is for the mitzvah of Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, they're going to eat up all of the grass and all of the crops. So therefore, the Chachamim give a knas to the owner of the Bechor, that even this person who was mata the Bechor as a non-mumcheh, teshecht it against the halacha, he shouldn't have done that, he only has to pay a quarter. He's not going to pay the half. He only has to pay a quarter because as it is, the person who has this Bechor, which is a Behema Daka, he shouldn't have anyway, assuming we're talking about in civilization. And therefore, the one who rendered this Bechor, the one who gave the Psak Halacha, the Bechor could be Shechted, shouldn't have to pay the regular half. He can pay even less because this animal shouldn't have been around anyway. That's one explanation, the way the Rambam understands it. And the Rashi says, no, we're speaking about something else. It's a bigger tircha to raise Behema Daka. So let's say we're speaking about nothing to do with civilization, non-civilization. In certain places, certainly you can raise a Behemah Daka. But it's more difficult because the teeth are not as strong. You have to take care of them a little bit more than you have to take care of the cows. So because of that, there is a tircha to that the Kohen who has this animal, takes them a lot of time to take care of this animal. The person who was matur this Bechor, so what did he do? He said, you can shech the animal. They shech the animal, and now you can eat it. Well, no, you can't eat it. You're gonna have to bury it. But at least the Kohen doesn't have to go through the big tircha. It's a big tircha to care for the animal and wait till it develops the mum and make sure you feed it so it doesn't die. So because of that, there is some tircha, some trouble that's taken away from the Kohen anyway to work with the animal. So the one who made this ruling, the non-mumcha, only has to pay not a half, but only a quarter. Different ways to understand why he's only paying a quarter of the value of the Bechor for a Behema, for Behema Daka. Then the Mishnah says, Don Es Adin. This is a very famous halacha called Maseches Sanhedrin. The way you're going to remember this, of course, is Don Es Adin is Dalet Dalet. And where are we? We're in Bechor's Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Don Es Adin. Here you have someone who is not a mumcha, and he makes a mistake. This is not where we're speaking about Bechor. This is a general halacha. For example, Zika is a hachayev, someone who should have been chayev to pay. Let's say you have a lova, should have paid the malva. And he said, no, he doesn't have to pay the malva. Malva doesn't get any money. And he made a mistake. It was an erroneous ruling. Or v'chiv es hazakai. Or the other way, someone who should have been innocent, he said he's guilty, he has to pay. Timei hasator, you have, let's say, foods that should be tahor, that are not halachically tamei. And he says, no, they became halachically tamei, and that was a mistake. Or v'tir es hatamei. The other way, things that are tamei, he said that they're going to be tahor. Masha asa asui vishalim mi beis. What is done is done. The ruling he made is effective. It's not retracted, and he has to pay out of pocket for the financial loss that he caused. Let's take the first example. Zika zachayev. Here you have someone who should have been chayev to pay. And let's say the love, the borrower, should have paid the malve, and he says, no, you don't have to pay. And really, that was a mistake. So the Malva ends up losing out on money. So what's the halacha? The Lova, we don't retract the din and say, okay, Mr. Lova, you have to pay. I made a mistake. Rather, we say the din is a din. The Lova doesn't have to pay. But this dayan, this judge, has to pay out of his pocket for this mistake that he made in halacha. So that's what it means, that masha asa asui vishalem mi besa. Now, what kind of damage are we talking about? He just gave a psak halacha, and because of psak halacha, he didn't steal money from someone. So the Gemara explains that this is what we call garmi, What's garmi? So there is general what we call grama. Grama is doing something indirect. We have grama when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. We have grama when it comes to causing damage as well. And the general rule is grama b'nizakin pater. If someone causes damage and financial loss and it's done in an indirect fashion, when it comes to damages, you actually do not have to pay. We say also grama b'nizakin asr. You're not allowed to do that. But if it was done, you're exempt from paying. You can pay if you like, but you're exempt from paying. Garmi is a higher level of grama, at least according to many Rishonim, and where it's a little bit more direct, maybe there's intent that's involved. Let's say someone takes someone's check and rips it up. So he officially didn't take money, silver coins, and throw them into the sea. So that would be direct damage. Here, but you took, we know what, a check, you could draw money from someone else's account, and now you ripped it up. So that would be what we call garmi. And there are other examples of that as well. Our Mishnah, the Gemara assumes, is an example of garmi. Garmi is a higher level of grama, a little bit more direct, still indirect, but a little more. There's intent, it may be immediate. If we want to explain what garmi is, that's what this psak halacha is. When you say that this lova doesn't have to pay, to pay the malva, the bar doesn't have to pay the creditor. So that is causing a financial damage, indirect, but a higher level of indirect, closer to direct. What's the halakha when it comes to garmi? Well, there we have a machlokas. Rabbi Meir, da'in dina de garmi. It's the general rule we have in Maseches Bava Kama Daf Kuf, that Rabbi Meir is the one who rules in cases of garmi and says you are chayav. The Rabbanan disagree and say garmi is no different than grama. You're exempt. So our Mishnah, which seems to be speaking about an example of garmi, must be following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That is one way to than the Mishnah. However, there are those who claim that no, we can explain the Mishnah like the Chachamim as well, that everyone agrees with the Halach and the Mishnah. How is that possible? So we have to create something direct in order to explain why this Dayan has to pay out of pocket. And that is what we call Shenasa V'Nasan Biyad. It means that the Dayan did something direct in causing the financial loss. So take, for example, the case of the Malva and the Lova. The Malva had a mashko and had a collateral of the Lova. When this Dayan, this judge, ruled that the Lova does not have to pay, what he did was then he took the mashko and the collateral from the Malva and gave it back to the Lova, which was, of course, part of the erroneous ruling. But it was him directly taking something that should have still been in the hands of the Malva and gave it to the Lova. That is direct damage. That's not grama or garmi. And therefore, even the Chacham would agree that you're going to be chayiv. And we could give examples of these others. Let's say, Timei Asator. He had something that was Torah. He said it's Tamei. So, okay, these peros are Tamei. You're not allowed to eat them. Okay, so what does he do? He throws them in the garbage. And indirectly, it causes a financial loss. Well, that's garmi. That's grama. That's not direct. No, the answer is, you know what he did? He said, I want to show you how Tamei these are. I'll prove to you these are Tamei. I'm going to, not only are they tummy, but I'm going to take a dead sheretz right now and touch your fruit and show you that they're really tummy. They were tummy before, but they're so tummy that I'm comfortable making them tummy again. So what did he do? So that was direct. So we have other examples where we could explain the mission in such a way where it was kigon shenasa v'nasan biyad. Biyad, he did it directly, and therefore vishalim yibay, so the fact that he has to pay out of pocket is something that everyone would agree to in this Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, let's say this person who made this rule, this mistake in ruling, was a mumche, though. Then the Mishnah says, patro milishan. He does not have to pay in such a case. If he made a mistake and was mezaka the chayav, said the chayav is really innocent and he made that mistake, so the halacha is he doesn't have to pay for that financial loss based on a psak halacha. And that's because a mumche lebeisdin has reshus to rule. Sometimes you make a mistake, that happens, and therefore he doesn't have to pay out of pocket. And then the Mishnah supports this by the following maaseh. Maaseh bepara shenitla ha'em shala, like the following case where there was a para, cow, and the uterus was taken out of the cow. Ve'he'echilo Rabbi Tarfon la'klav, and Rabbi Tarfon made a mistake. Why? Because the uterus, a Mishnah Chulin, in the third parak, says that if a cow is missing, an animal is missing the uterus, that does not render it a treifa. That does not make it usher to eat. That's there are certain parts of an animal that make it a treifa if it's missing it, a defect, but others that would not. And this does not make it, is not a defect, a fatal defect, of course, that would render it a treifa. Rabbi Tarfon, nonetheless, v'hechila Rabbi Tarfon l'klov. Rabbi Tarfon says, this is a treifa, and you can feed this, you can't eat this, you can feed it to the dogs. And the case came in front of the Chacham, they said, what are you talking about? This is mutter. It's the first Mishnah in Chulin, in the third parak, that this is kosher. And the Mishnah says that Omar Tudus Harofe, meaning this is supporting this idea that Tudus, the physician, said, and basically we'll see what he said in a moment, but the point was that taking out the uterus does not make it a trefa. It's going to live for a long, long time. Usually a trefa, we assume, is going to die within a year. Not a fatal defect at all. Ein paravachazira yotza me Alexandria. Tudus Harofe said, you know, that they never let a para or a chazira or a female pig leave Alexandria of Egypt ad shehem chotkim sa'em shela, until they cut out the uterus. Why do they want to cut out the uterus? They didn't want it to any animal to mate with it, so now we would be able to have children, because they wanted their, people in Alexandria wanted to charge a lot of money for their animals. They didn't want them to mate in other provinces, so they made sure that they were infertile once they left Alexandria, so they would have the monopoly on them. The point was, after they left Alexandria, they lived for a long, long time, even without their uterus. So says Tudus, this doctor, you see very well that this is not, their Rabbi Tarfon's ruling is not correct, that it doesn't make it a treifa. And Rabbi Tarfon didn't allow them to eat it, and they fed it to the dog, so he caused a financial loss. So Amar Rabbi Tarfon, realized he made this mistake. He said, Holcha chamor cha Tarfon. Oh, Tarfon, your chamor, your donkey is gone. What do you mean it's gone? I'm going to have to sell my donkey to pay for this para that I said was a treifa and was really a mistake. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, patarata. Rabbi Tarfon, you're exempt. Shatal mumcha lebeskos, you're a mumcha and you're an expert. Even though you made a mistake, you don't have to pay. As we said earlier in the Mishnah, v'chala mumcha lebeskin patrimi l'shale. Now the Gemara makes the following point. We have to distinguish between Rabbi Tarfon's ruling and other examples of mistakes as well. Rabbi Tarfon's mistake is what we call to'et b'dvar Mishnah, where you make a mistake in a dvar Mishnah, something that's explicitly written in a Mishnah, something explicitly written in a Tosefta, in a Braisa, something that's explicit. So in fact, even if you're not a mumche, if you as a rabbi make a mistake in that ruling, when it's explicit in a Mishnah, you actually do not have to pay out of pocket for your mistake. We say that the ruling doesn't exist, or it's retracted, and you don't have to pay. That's because now in this case, what would have happened had they not fed this para that Rabbi Tarfon said, well, it's missing the uterus, it's a treif, you can't eat it. Had they not fed it to the dogs, what would have happened? He would have realized the mistake. He would have said, oh, I made a mistake. The psak is retracted. This was completely against the Mishnah. This is not a treifa. You can eat it yourself. That's all. So it was their fault, so to speak. Not really their fault. We can question that. But Rabbi Tarfon's ruling, which is against an explicit Mishnah, we fault the people for then taking that psak halach, which is against the Pharisee Mishnah, everyone should know that Mishnah, and feeding it to the dogs. They should have realized that, maybe get a second opinion, realize that this is against the Mishnah. We should know the Mishnahis. So Rabbi Tarfon, in fact, as strange as it is, does not have to pay for that. But that's not all Rabbi Akiva was saying. Rabbi Akiva was telling Rabbi Tarfon the following. If it were a mistaken Devar Mishnah like our case, so then even if you were not a mumcha, you wouldn't have to pay. The din would be retracted, we'd start again. In this case, it's too late, but we would normally start again, and your psak is not a psak at all. But what I'm telling you is the following. In a case where we're not mistaken in a Devar Mishnah, but rather what we call shikul hadas literally means the mind weighs it. I mean, you have to, the Gemara, you look in the Gemara, it's a machlokas tanoim, a machlokas amoraim, and it seems that the general practice is to follow one opinion, and this Dayan happened to rule according to the other opinion. That's a mistake, not in a Devar Mishnah. That's not against an explicit Mishnah, that's a machlokas. That's what we call a mistake in shikul hadas. He weighed it in the wrong direction, not following the majority. So in such a case, if you're a non-mumche, then you have to pay out of pocket. But if you're a mumche, so then you don't have to pay out of pocket. And that's what Rabbi Kiva said about Tarfon. He said, listen, you're putter on two counts. Number one, it's a Devar Mishnah. Even if you were not a mumche, you would be able, because it's against the Mishnah, the uterus is missing, it doesn't make it a treifa. But even if it were shikul hadas, where a non-mumcha would have to pay out of pocket, you do not have to pay out of pocket. Why? Because you are a mumcha l'rabim. Perek dala mishnei hanotel scharo lios roe b'choros ein shochatin al piv. The general rule is you shouldn't be paid for looking at a b'chor to give a psak halacha to permit it based on a mumkavua. But the Mishnah gives it an exception. Ela imkein unless hayomumche ki ila biyavne. Unless you're an expert like Ila, name of a person in the city of Yavne. What was great about him? So some say he was just the absolute expert. So if you're on that level, so then you can be paid. We don't suspect that you're giving the halachic rulings on the bechor to permit the bechor for money. No, others claim that no, he was a chassid, a very pious person, very righteous. We never suspect him of giving a psak halacha for the money. So, if you're on that level, then you can be paid. Otherwise, you should not be paid. She tivulo chachamim, you know, chachamim allowed him to be paid. Lios notel arba'a isoros bevehmedaka. If he was giving a ruling on a mum on a mehmedaka, goat or a sheep, he would take four isoros. How much is four isoros? Which equals a ma'a kesef. A ma'akasif is a sixth of a dinar, a sixth of a zuz. And vishisha bagasa. And you get paid six for a gasa. Why do you get paid four for isar for emidaka and more for emagasa? So the Gemara explains you have to throw the animal down and you want to inspect the animal, a large animal. It's difficult to inspect it. So then you get paid a little bit more. And this would be the halacha, bein tamim, bein bamlam, which means assuming you're allowed to be paid, we pay you both when you render it a tamim and a bamlam. You don't just give you money. Oh, you made it a bamlam. So you're going to be paid for that. We don't do that. You get paid whether you say, oh, it's tamim, it's perfectly okay. I don't see any blemish at all on this. Why do we do that? So the Gemara says, so the answer is that we don't want a person, we don't want to suspect him. Oh, I see why he's getting paid, because he makes it a balmum. Okay, every time the animal comes, he says a balmum. You know, we get paid because, when you say it's a mum kabua, the Kohen can shecht it and eat it right now. So that's why he's doing it. That's why we pay you whether you give a psak halacha that it's a tamim or a balmum. The Gemara also says that you only can get schar for one animal, for each animal paid only once. Why? Because we're afraid, what are you going to do? This animal comes to you, you say, it looks like a b'chor tam, no mum at all. Okay, so I guess it's a mum over, don't worry about it. And then a month later, they come back and say, oh no, I saw this on the animal. No, it's a tam, don't worry about it. So why do you give a psak halacha that it's a tam each and every time on this animal? Because you want it, once you say it's a bamum, he shechs, then it's over, he drops over. You don't get that client anymore, at least that animal, it's not going to come to you anymore. So if people have this in other professions, they want the clients to come back, so how do you get them to come back? So here too, if I said it's a b'chor tam, you're going to try to bring, you may bring it back again to check and inspect it again, I got to get paid again. So therefore, the Gemara says for each animal, you only get one time to be paid, and after that, you can be paid for another animal, but not for that animal itself.